Today's Shir is Masechta Yuma. Daf Nun Gimel. We will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amar Aleph at the top of Amid Tana Rabbanan. The Braisa here discusses the Loch of Ktairus on Yom Kippur. And it says in the Pasuk Tana Rabbanan, V'nasan asuk Ktairus al Eish Lefnei Hashem. From here we learn a halacha that we've discussed previously, Shlo Yisakim Mebuchutz, that the Kohen Gadol should not prepare the Ktairus on the coals outside in the Heichel, and then Yachnes, and enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketores already prepared. L'hoitzi miliban shel tzadokim. This is clearly different in dispute with what the tzadokim held. Omrim, that they held Yisakim and B'chutz, we prepare the Ketores outside in the Kodesh, the Yachnes, and then already after it's prepared, they bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ask the Gemara, my Dorish, what caused the Tzadokim to learn that that was the way to bring the Ketores? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says regarding the Ketores, can be on an royal Kepiris, that when the Kohen Gadol comes into Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's already holding a cloud, meaning he's already holding the Ketores, which makes the smoke. So that's why Melamish Yisakim B'chutz, he should prepare the Ketores outside V'yachnas, and that's how he should walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketores already burning, producing smoke. Amalam Chachamim. So Chachamim said back to the Tzadokim, V'loi Kvanema, doesn't it say another Pasuk, V'nosan HaSek Ketores Lifnei Hashem, which clearly indicates that when he's lifting Hashem, when he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when he puts the Ketores. So the Chachamim themselves, of course, need to defend themselves, but the Tzadokim just quoted a Pasuk. Vim Kain, Ma Tam Loimer, what do we learn from the Pasuk of Kibi Onan, a royal Kepiris? Says the Gemara, we learn from that Pasuk, Melamed Shayonoysen Ba Mala Ashen, that you have to put into the Ketores this ingredient of Mala Ashen, which causes smoke to go up straight from the Ketores. Says the Gemara, Umnayin Shayonoysen by Mala Ashen, from where do we indeed know, says the Gemara, that Mala Ashen is such a critical ingredient to the Ketores? Says the Gemara, Shanam, because the Pasuk says, V'chisa Nan has from here we know that the smoke has to be there. There has to be smoke in the Ketores that it should give, that it have the smaloshin in the Ketores. Ha, from here we learn, if he did not put in maloshin into the Ketores, or you're missing any of the other ingredients in the Ketores, the loch is chayim misa. Rashi learns that this is learned from what the Torah says, Hak Torah. And the Mefarshim explained that what Rashi means to say is the fact that the Torah says the word Torah with the hey, we had Hak Torah. From here we learn that it has to be exactly as the Torah told us to produce it with not missing any ingredients. Previously, when we had learned about the Beis Aftinus, we had learned in the Gemara that the Beis Aftinus were those that produced the Ketores. And the Gemara said, since they were those that produced the Ketores, they didn't want to teach anybody how to make the Ketores. And that's why they brought people from Alexandria in Egypt to make the Ketores. But the Gemara says that they could not duplicate what the Beis Aftinus made, because the Beis Aftinus were able to make the Ketores with the Mala Ashen, and they couldn't. Now the question is, we just learned in our Gemara that the Mala Ashen is critical to the Ketores. If you're missing the Mala Ashen, you don't have Ketores. So how was it that they even began that they should make the Ketores until they realized, well, they can't make it as well because they don't have the Mala Ashen? Without Mala Ashen, we don't have Ketores. So the Tosfos Yeshanim said there were a number of types of Mala Ashen. One type, and Mala Ashen is an ingredient that causes that the smoke should come out from the Ktiris. The Beis Haftinus knew which is the Malashin that causes the smoke to go out straight. The people from Alexandria, although they knew what grass causes Malashin, they weren't able to figure out which is the grass that that makes it go straight. There's Malashin dispersed to different side. The Beis Yosef says different. He says that the Gemara here, when it says is talking about one of the other ingredients. It's not talking about the Malashin. And the Mishnah Melech says he doesn't understand what the Beis Yosef says. The Gemara clearly said that Malashin is crucial to the Ketores. And therefore, the Mishnah Melech says a different pshat. He says that's exactly what happened. The people from the Beis HaMikdash, the administrators of the Beis HaMikdash, thought that the Alexandrian Ketores manufacturers could make Ketores properly. When they saw that they could not make, they did not know what Malashin is, so he says that very day they put it in. That very day they redid the Ketores. They went back, that everything that we learned in that Gemara between the Alexandrians and the Beis Haftinus happened in one same day. The Chedushi Ridal has a different pshat. He says that the Gemara which says here that if you're missing Malashin, the Ketores is disqualified, is speaking about Yom Kippur. And the story with the Alexandrians did not happen on Yom Kippur. The Mari Marov says, based on our Gemara, that when somebody says the Parshas Ketores, whether they say it before davening, whether they say it in Ein Kol Akeinu, whenever they say the Parshas Ketores, they should be careful to make sure not to skip any words. Because as we just learned in our Gemara, Emchiser Achas Mikol Somanel Chai Misa, I've seen people that have the Minig, we learned that there are 11 ingredients to the Ketores, so they count with their fingers those 11 ingredients to make sure that they didn't skip any of the ingredients, because our Gemara just said, V'mchisa achs mikos v'nah chai misa. The Beis Yosef disagrees, and the Beis Yosef says that this that the Gemara says, V'mchisa achs mikos v'nah chai misa, is only when you're bringing the Ketores, not when you're saying the parsha of the Ketores. The Ramah, however, clearly indicates, this is in Simon Kuf Lamed Beis, that you should not say the Parsha Ketores by heart, and that's why he obviously concurs with the Mari Marov, and that's why by him he says there was a minig that they didn't say the Parsha Ketores during the weekdays. Since during the weekdays people are very rushed, and we're concerned that in their rush they're not going to say all of the Ketores properly, that's why the minig was not to say the Parsha Ketores, only Shabbos Yontif, where people are not that rushed. Ask the Gemara, why are we saying that if somebody missed one of the ingredients of the Ketores, Chai Misa, the typically is anyway Chayiv, the Kamayil Birikonis, you're only allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash when there's a purpose to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Certainly you're not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without a purpose. So what if somebody didn't make the Ketores properly? He had no right to go in. So he's chai misa for that. So the Rishonim and Achronim ask that there are ways to enter the Beis HaMikdash, that the only time somebody's chayiv for entering the Beis HaMikdash or being reconnus is he walked through the front door. But let's say he didn't walk through the front door the regular way. He's not chayiv for being reconnus. So now we could understand what the pasuk means to say. They walked in not in the normal fashion, so he's not chayiv for being reconnus, but he will be chayiv if he doesn't bring the right type of ketores, because mechisa achas mekos mena chayiv miso. So the Kedushas Yontif answers very interestingly. He says that even though one can enter indeed the Beis HaMikdash not through the separate way, the halacha is that by Ketores, part of the avodah of the Ketores is that it has to be brought in through the front door. So there's no option that he could have come in with the Ketoris any other way. The Shagas Arya asks a question. He says, we're speaking about the Ketoris on Yom Kippur. So of course, in bringing the Ketoris, one is over Havara, burning. As we learned, you have to burn the Ketoris to make the Ketoris. So of course, why are we allowed to burn the Ketoris on Yom Kippur under normal circumstances? Because that's part of the Avodas Hayoyim of Yom Kippur, that we have to bring Ketoris. But asks the Shagas Arya on, if you didn't bring the Ketoris right, so it turns out that you had no right to make the fire. And if you had no right to make the fire, why aren't you chayiv misa from doing a melacha on Yom Kippur? So the stipel answers that the iser of offering ketoris that aren't made properly is relevant even to Aaron HaKohen. And there's a very famous medrash, we learned it at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel, that says that Aaron HaKohen could walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim any time, provided that he does the Avodah as it was done on Yom Kippur. So now, says the stipler, very geschmack. He says, Al Gemara is referring to Aaron HaKohen, not on Yom Kippur, entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Ketoris not made properly. So the Issa Havara doesn't apply here, because there's no Havara, it's a weekday. But the Isser of Bia Rikonis is of course not limited to Shabbos on Yom Kippur, and that's why the Gemara asks that if somebody enters the Beis HaMikdash this way, it should be a Bia Rikonis. Another teretz that the stipler suggests is that the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos more than once that if you do a melacha in a non-constructive way, it's not melechas machsheves, and you're not chai for such a melacha. So says the stipler, if somebody's burning ketoris on Shabbos, and there's nothing positive from burning that, and you're not being mekayim a mitzvah, so the havara is just a destructive act. You're just making a fire, and therefore there's no concern of havara because it's only a mekalkel b'chabura, and mekalkel b'chabura is not considered a melacha. Answers the Gemara. So back to our Gemara's question: why does the Gemara have to tell us that if somebody missed one of the ingredients of the Ketoris, Chayiv Misa, the Gemara could have said, you Chayiv Misa, because you came in a Bia Rikonis. Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Shesh Sokh Maiskinen, Kigoin Shisogag Bibia. He didn't know that there's a Chayiv Misa for coming to the Beis HaMikdash without a purpose, for Hezid B'Ketoris. But he knew that you're not allowed to bring Ketoris that are not made properly. So for the Bia Rikonis, you wouldn't be Chayiv Misa, because he's a Shagig. But he's a Mezid on the other Aveira, on the Aktara. Rav Ashi says a different teretz. Afil Taima Shehezid Bezu. The person knew you're not allowed to go in a Bia Rikonis, the Kohen knew he's not allowed to go in a Bia Rikonis, and he also knew that he's not allowed to bring Ketoris that are missing an ingredient. And we're talking about a situation he brought in two spoonfuls of Ketoris. Achas Shleima, one had the proper amount in it, v'achas Chaseira, and one was missing an ingredient. Abilai Mechayiv, he's not Chayiv for Bia Rikonis, the Ayla Shleima. He walked in with a proper type of Ketoris. However, Akhtar Mechayiv, he is Chayiv for the Ketorah, the Kamakhtalei Ketoris Chaseira, because ultimately when he brings the Ketoris that is missing one in the ingredients, he's Chayiv. So Ritva explains that this person that brought these both types of Ketoris, and he brought into the Beis HaMikdash both types of Ketoris, and he offered both of them, and therefore there's no problem of being Rikonis. So Ritva says that we have to explain that what Rav Ashi means to say is that first he burnt the Ketoris that was properly made, and then he burnt the Ketoris that was missing one of the ingredients. Because if he would have burnt first the Ketoris that's missing one of the ingredients, so then that would be considered Bia Rikonis. And since it would be considered Bia Rikonis, the Gemara's question would come back. The Shalos Tshuvos of the Nezer doesn't necessarily agree with the Ritva. He says that the only time coming into the Beis HaMikdash is considered a Bia Rikonis is when there's nothing proper could be done because you came in. But if you came in with the with not just the purpose, with the ability to do it correctly, even though you did not necessarily do it correctly, it's not considered to be Rakonis. And therefore he says, he doesn't want to argue with the Ritva, but he says, enough for what the Ritva said, he would suggest that if somebody came in with both of these Ketairis, and even if he offered first the Ketairis that was missing one of the ingredients, it still wouldn't make a difference. Because since he still has in his hand the Ketairis that has the right ingredients, that is enough, and he has the potential and the desire to ultimately bring it, that is enough that it should not be considered a Bir Akonis. We learned further, Manayin Shanaisim B'Mala Oshin. How do you know that you have to put the Mala Oshin into the Ketairis? Tamalayim V'Chisa. Ask the Gemara, V'Kra L'Kra, do we have to bring another Pasuk? We already learned earlier in this year that the Torah Akdosha says, Kiba Onan Eroel Kepairis, and from there we learned that you have to put in Mala Oshin. I would only think that you could use one of the leaves of the Mala Oshin. Iker, the root of Mala Oshin Minayim, that it's also able to be used for the Tyrus, Minayim, Tamalayma, Vechisa. As long as it accomplishes what the Mala Oshin is supposed to accomplish, it's going to be fine. Amle Abaya, so Abaya asks Rabbi Yosef, for Ifchatanya, we learned just the opposite. We learned that the root is better than the leaf. The Tanya Nosim Ba Iker Mala Oshin, that they used to put the root of the Mala Oshin into the Ketairis, Vayimatama Va'oila Kamakal, and the smoke would rise up straight like a stick. Ach Megil Shmei Kaira, until it reached the ceiling. Kivin Shigil Shmei Kaira, once the Ketairis, the smoke reached the ceiling, Meshamish V'yar B'Ksalim, it went down to the sides of the walls, Ach Nesmal Abayis Oshin, until the entire Beis HaMikdash became, the Beis HaMikdash got full with the smoke of the Ketairis, Shenemar V'Abayis Mal Oshin. The entire Beis HaMikdash became full of smoke. So you see that the root is better. Ela M'Abayi Hachi Kamar. This is the way to learn. Ein Li Ela Iker. We would think that only the root of the Mala Oshin may be used. Only Ela Ika Mala Oshin, we could only use the root. Ala Mala Oshin Minayim, how do we know that he could use the leaves as well, the actual blades of grass? Tamalayim V'Chisa, as long as it does what the Mala Oshin is supposed to do, it's fine. Ravashi Omer, Ravashi Omer, again, the question that we began with was, why do we need two psukim to teach us the halacha of Mala Oshin? So Sheshes Amar, only Ela Oil Moed Shem Midbar. I would only think that in the Oil Moed, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Mala Oshin. B'Shila Beis Alamim Minayin, that how do we know in those places as well they put in Mala Oshin? Tamalim V'Chisa, in all places you have to have Mala Oshin. But ask the Gemara, that halacha, that the way the Ketairis is supposed to be brought is everywhere that way, we already know, because the pasuk says v'chein yaseh l'oil moed hashoichin itam nafka, then wherever they go, they have to do the avodah that way. Says the Gemara halacha kamer. This is what he meant to say. Ainli ela b'yom kippurim, that in Yom Kippur there's a din that the Ketairis has to have Mala Oshin. B'shai ma'aseh shana minayin. How do we know that this din applies all year round? Tamalayim v'chisa, that whenever you bring Ketairis, you have to put in the Mala Oshin. And the reason we would differentiate, explains the Siach Yitzchak, from Yom Kippur, from all year round, is we would think that since in Yom Kippur, the Ketairis is brought into Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's where Mala Oshin is so critical. The rest of the year where it's not brought into Kodesh HaKadoshim, I would think it's not so critical. That's why we need a Pasuk. Rashi offers a different teretz, why we need two Pesukim about the Mala Oshin. He said, Chad L'Mitzvah, one pasuk is teaching us there's a mitzvah to put in the Mala Oshin, and the Chad, and the other pasuk is teaching us la'akif, that if you're missing the Tyrus, then Mala Oshin is disqualified. Because as we've mentioned previously, when we learn sugyas that are relevant to Kachim, the halacha is shana lov akosiv la'akif, that whatever the Torah says a halacha in Kachim twice, What the Torah means to say is that it's absolutely necessary. And that's why over here also, the Torah teaches us a second time to teach us that it's not just a mitzvah to have malosh in the Torah, but sla'akiv. It's absolutely essential. Rav Amar, Rav has a different teretz why we need two psukim about the maloshin. Chad la'oinish, that if somebody brings the maloshin, brings a teretz without maloshin, his chai misav de shemayim, the chad lazhara, and want us to teach us the lav. Even though the Rishonim point out that the pasuk of oinish comes before the pasuk of azhara, doesn't make sense. Shouldn't the pasuk of the Hazara that tells there's an Isser come before the pasuk of the Einish? But here we see a mugdam a mucha b'tayra. The Torah is not in a specific order, and that's why, even though to us it looks like the Misa Isser was mentioned before the Hazara Isser, it's not. There's no specific. We don't follow necessarily the order the way things were written in the Torah. Tanya b'lezo Omer. The pasuk says v'chisa ananak Torahs v'layomus. Here we have the Einish, that if somebody brings Ktiris without the Maloshin, he's Chai Misa. Then there's the other pasuk that says, Kiba'on and Ira, that's the Azhara, that's coming to teach us that there's a lav if somebody brings Ktiris without the Maloshin. Yochel Yeshneim Amurim Kodim Misas Bnei Aaron. Maybe I would suggest that both psukim were mentioned before Aaron's children were died, even though they're mentioned afterwards, and again the same concept, Emog de Malchav Torah, Tamaloymer, Achrei Moshim Aaron, that when Aaron's children passed away, Nadav and Avihu passed away, they were not yet told about this, and therefore that's not the Avera for which they were killed. Yochel Yeshneim Amurim Lach Shnei Bnei Aaron. So I would think that both the Isser and the Oynish were only stated in the Torah after Aaron's children died, and before that, they weren't even mentioned. Tamalim could be on the royal kaparis. Hakeitzad. So how do we understand? Azhara was kaidem misa. The Azhara was mentioned first, even though in the pasuk it's not first, and that was mentioned before Nadav and Avihu passed away for Einish, and Einish was said lachem misa. Says the Gemara, my Tamuda, what pushes us in that direction? Amar Rava, Amar Kra. The pasuk says that in the future, a dying lo nira, and that the pasuk is being stated where before the ktaris ever was offered. But we know by the time that Aaron's children were nifter, the ktaris was already offered. Ella, so if that's the case, that the chiv misa was not mentioned before they died, so obviously they could have not been put to death for bringing ktaris without the proper ingredients, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have killed them if they were not warned that there's a chiyuv misa for doing so. So ask the Gemara, if so, my tam inish, why were they punished? Why were they killed? Answers the Gemara, Ketanya Beleza Omer, Lemesa Bnei Aaron, the reason Bnei Aaron died, El Shahira Alocha Bfnei Moshe Rabbim. They passed in the Shaila before, in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Gemara, my darish. What was this psak that they made? The pasuk says, "V'nosnu b'nei Aaron akoyin eish al mizbeach." If we learn from here, "Apish eish yiredes from the shemayim," even though we know the fire that was on the mizbeach came down from the shemayim, mitzvah lavim in a hedjet. There's a mitzvah to bring it from the hedjet, to bring our own fire, and therefore that was the mistake that they made. And here we see that even though they paskin the psak correctly, the halacha is that you are supposed to, the pasuk clearly teaches us that you have to bring your own fire. But the fact that they said the psak by themselves without consulting and hearing it from Moshe Rabbeinu, that's called Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. Tosfos brings that the Medrash and Toras Kohanim brings many reasons why the Bnei Aaron died. One reason is because they were walking behind Moshe and Aaron, and they said, "Masu Yemusu Shnei Zakenim Alolu." When will Moshe and Aaron pass away? Vaniva Ato Nanek Zador, and will take over the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Another pshat is that they walked into the Beis Hamikdash without a haircut, Purei Rosh. Another pshat was the pshat that Tosfos offers is that they drank wine, shesuya yayin. Another pshat is that they weren't wearing all the big day kahuna. So, not a question is that, is that true that a Talmud can never pass in a shayla in front of Moshe without the Rebbe? So one pshat is that something which is already well known, you could pass in. But here, it wasn't well known yet. And since they it wasn't well known, that's why they shouldn't, it wasn't yet known, they shouldn't be the first ones to pass in it. Another pshat was that they actually made a mistake. Because the halacha that we have to make, we have to put fire on the Mizbeach is only on the Mizbeach Achitzin. And they even said that applies to the mitz on the Mizbeach Apnimi. Another pshat is that not just that they shouldn't have done what they did, they actually made a mistake. Because although the halacha is that, as we just learned, we have to contribute to the fire, that's every day of the year. But on this day, which was the Yom HaShmini, the inauguration of the Mishkan, Hashem wanted that they should only use fire from Shemayim. And the fact that they used other fire was wrong. So here we learned the halacha of a Talmud not being paskening in front of his Rebbe. And this is the basis for what we know, Bizman Azed, that a Rav could only pasken a Shaila via Smicha. The Smicha, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in Masech the Sanhedrin, that we have Bizman Azed, is not the Smicha that was in the time of Chazal, that was an unbroken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Smicha that we have today is ordination that we should be allowed to pasken, that you should be allowed to pasken a Shaila, even though you still have a Rebbe. But the Orchis Chaim says that this Isser that we're learning, that you're not allowed to pass in Shiloh, was only in the time of Chazal. But nowadays that we have printed Svarim, so one could look up any Shiloh in a Sefer, and therefore it's not considered Mar Alokha Bifnei Rabbi if you pass him from what you saw in a Sefer. Says that Gos Maimonis, if that's the case, that's only when you're passing a shaila out of a sefer. But let's say somebody's asked a shaila, which is a shaila that's not written any sefer, then it would still be an issue of mar halacha b'fnei rabbi. And the paiskim, the shalos tshuvos shvos Yaakov and the prima godim say that b'zman hazeh the svarim are our rebbe, and therefore they say that just like we're learning in our gemara, that a Talmud is not allowed to pass in a Shaila in front of his Rebbe, so too one should not pass in a Shaila without checking its form. The Aruch HaShulchan disagrees. And this Aruch HaShulchan says that in those days when there weren't Sfarim, and you pass in a Shaila without consulting your Rebbe, so that's considered Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. But Zman HaZeh, where people know that this rule of Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabbi doesn't apply. So therefore, if you pass in the Shaila, even if you didn't look into the Sefer, it's not considered Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. So the Sefer Yofa Mara says that why is there such an important point to bring our own fire? Because he explains there's a concept of Nesirusa Del Sata and Nesirusa Del Eila, that we have to take a step towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a step towards us. So when we have the fire on the Mizbeach, we have the combination of both of these types of avoidus. There's the fire that comes from Shemayim, and there's the fire that we contribute. And in fact, the Sefer Be'er Mayim Chaim says that's what the Pasuk says when Avram Avinu went to the Akedah with Yitzchak. He says, V'yikach, what is the point of Ho'esh? Ho'esh, Avraham Avinu was saying that even though I'm certain there's going to be fire coming down, Menashemayim, Ho'esh, I'm also bringing fire to show that there's mitzvah lahavi minahejit. So we learned in the Mishnah that as the Kohen Gadol exits the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yotzo Bala B'dar K'nisosoi, he exits the same way as he came in. Ask the Gemara anonymously, how do we know that that's the way you're supposed to exit the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Amrav Shmuel Nachmeni, Amrav Yonis, and Amrav Kroh. The pasuk says, "V'yavu Shloim LeBayim Asher Begivon Yerushalayim." He came to that bama where the bama was in Givon before the Beis Hamikdash was put up in Yerushalayim. So the question is, "V'chimah Inyan Givon Etz Yerushalayim?" If we're speaking about that he was traveling from Yerushalayim to Givon, the pasuk says, "Yerushalayim LeGivon." And if on the other hand we're talking that he was returning home from Givon to Yerushalayim, he said the pasuk should have said "Minabama Asher BeGivon LeYerushalayim." Why does it say "Labama Asher BeGivon Yerushalayim"? To teach us Al Makash Yitziyasa BeGivon LeYerushalayim, the pasuk wants to teach us how he traveled when he was going from Givon to Yerushalayim after he brought Kabanos on the Bama in Givon, Libiyasa Yerushalayim LeGivon, to the same way as he traveled from Yerushalayim to Givon. Certainly, says the Braisa, says the Gemara, Mabi Yosem Yerushalayim LeGivon, when he was traveling from Yerushalayim to Givon, Panav Klapi Bama, he was facing the Bama, Kederek Biyasoi. That's how you travel when you're going from Yerushalayim to Givon, you're traveling towards Givon. Af Yitziyasem LeGivon Yerushalayim, as he was returning home from Givon to Yerushalayim, he still walked backwards facing the Bama. And says the Gemara, V'kein, Kahanim Bevedasam, when Kahanim bring Kabanas, Levim Beduchanam, when the Levim stand in the Beis HaMikdash to sing on the Duchan, when the Kabanas are being brought, V'srova Mamadam, we've discussed many times, the Gemara Masechta Tainus discusses this extensively, that when a person brings a carbon, he's supposed to be there when he brings the carbon, as the pasuk says, Tishmru lahakar v'libe my adoy, but it's impossible for all of Klaius. Every day, carbon tzibur were brought, and the carbon tzibur was the donation of all of Klaiusrol. But all of Klaiusrol obviously cannot be there as the carbon is being brought. So there were mamadis. There were people that stood there every week, different mamad that represented Klaiusrol, and they were there when the carbon tamid was being offered to represent that the owners of the carbon are there as the carbon is being brought. Kshenneftarim, when they leave the Beis HaMikdash, Loyoy Machsirim Pnei V'Holchim, they didn't walk out regular and that the back should be facing the Beis HaMikdash. El Metzadadin Pneim, they walked with to the side V'Holchim, and that's how they walked out. And says the Gemara, Kain Talmud HaNiftar, Mirabai, when a Talmud takes leave of his Rebbe, the Loch is Loyachs upon him, he shouldn't turn around the Yelech, El Mitzad upon him, he should go to the side. Kihadar of Elazar, the Kar have a Miftaminate Rabbi Yochanan, when he would take leave of Rabbi Yochanan, Kar have a boy Rabbi Yochanan Skuye, when Rabbi Yochanan wanted to leave, have a Gochan Koy Rabbi Elazar Duchte. Rabbi Elazar would get up and bow down as his Rebbe was passing by. Ad the Michsi Rabbi Yochanan Menei until he didn't see Rabbi Yochanan anymore. We could have a boy Rabbi Lozer Laskuye, and when Rabbi Lozer wanted to leave, have a Ka'azel Lachurei, he would walk backwards. Ad the Michsi Menei Rabbi Yochanan until he no longer could see Rabbi Yochanan. So from our Gemara it seems that this halacha that when one takes leave of his Rebbe, he has to walk backwards. That's till he has to continue walking backwards until he can no longer see his Rebbe. But if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Yerideya, Simon Resh Mem Hei, Sif Gimel, says you don't have to walk that far backwards, you just have to start walking backwards. And what Rebbe Elazar did was a Midas Chassidus. Says the Gemara, Rava Kevin Miftim and Rabbi Yosef, when Rava would take leave of Rabbi Yosef, have Ozel Lachurei, he would walk backwards, Adam Nakfin Karei, until he would hurt his feet, or Maskfin is Kavusa Debe Rabbi Yosef Dama. And the floor of Rabbi Yosef was full of blood from his wounding himself. And as all the Rishonim point out, even though Rabbi Yosef was blind, so he didn't even see what Rava was doing, he was still did so because he wanted to show respect to his Rebbe. And I saw the Rishonim point out that halacha is that Meir Rabach Kemeir Shemayim. And the Gra says that Rava here acted consistent with the way he always acted. Because the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Chesam and Aleph, teaches us that Rava was so engrossed in his learning that he was sitting on his fingers and they were bleeding. So again, here too, he wasn't scared of hurting himself when it was an issue when it came to learning Torah. Amar Leil Rav Yosef, they told Rav Yosef about this incredible behavior. He said, they told him, Hachi Avid Rava, this is what Rava is doing. Amar Leil Rav Yosef said to Rava, Yari Rava, the Tarm Reshech HaKula Karcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that you should become the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Mashah explains that in the time of Abaya, there were two yeshivas in two different cities. One was the yeshiva of Abaya, and the other was the yeshiva of Rava. And Rabbi Yosef gave him a bracha that after Abaya is nifter, these two yeshivas will combine, and you will be the Rosh Yeshiva of these two yeshivas that are now combined. The Ben Yoyada has a different approach to this Gemara. He says, if Rabbi Yosef would have seen what Rava was doing, it wouldn't necessarily represent that he did such a great mitzvah. Because one could suggest that he did so because he wanted to make his Rebbe like him. But here, where, as we just said before, Rabbi Yosef was blind, and he did it anyway, so we see that his intent was purely to give cover to his Rebbe. And that's why his Rebbe said, since you did a mitzvah with the purest of intentions, that's why you will be zoicha to become the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Gra says, that we know it says in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet Mishnah Hei, Kol Mechabres HaTorah Gufa Mechubar Al Abrius. So since Rava sowed such tremendous kavod to his Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef, that's why he was ultimately zoicha to kavod. So the question that comes up, as we're learning here in the Gemara, how important it is that one should show the proper kavod to his Rebbe. So the question is, as Rabbonim typically speak, they speak standing in front of the Aron Kodesh with their backs to the Aron Kodesh. And the question is, how could somebody, here we're learning how careful we have to be to show the proper kavod. So how could somebody stand with their back to the Aron Kodesh? And this is actually a question that was already asked to the Rambam. The Rambam has a sefer called the Shail Satshuvas Per Hador. And the question is, this question was asked to them. And he says that if the Aron Kodesh is 10 tefachim above the ground, so then it's a reshus b'fnei atzmai. And since it's a reshus b'fnei atzmai, therefore there isn't a problem. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that if the Aron Kodesh is large enough to hold mem saw, then also it's considered a separate reshus. And since it's considered a separate reshus, this problem doesn't exist. And of course, the terrorists that many suggest that if the Rav is doing this to say a drasha, to say divrei Torah, so what he's saying is that that's also the same purpose as Aron Kodesh. It's for Kavod HaTorah, and that's why you could sit that way. But of course, if that's the case, says the Shaar Ephraim, the Rav, when he says the Shir, has to have a mind that what he's doing is for the Kavod HaTorah, not for his own Kavod. Furthermore, I saw the Shas Tshuvas Chelkis Yaakov and Yerideh Simen Kuf Lamedalit suggest that if that's the case, so when a Rav is giving a drasha, so the Rav is giving the drasha to teach the Tzibur Divrei Torah. But when a Bar Mitzvah boy says his drasha, it's hard to say that that's what the purpose of the Bar Mitzvah Bacha's drasha is. And therefore he is concerned, how could a Bar Mitzvah Bacha stand to say his drasha with his back to the Aron Kodesh? Amar Alexandria, Amar Yishuv Ben Levi, Hamaspal, as one is Davins, Tzarech Shiev Siya Sholosh Psiyas Lachurav. He has to take three steps backwards, V'achatech Yitain Sholem. And then he should give Sholem. Why do you have to take three steps backwards? So there are many reasons given. The Beis Yosef says that from the Meriah, that when Klai Yisrael received the Torah, they flew back Sholosh Milim, 3 mil. So for a reminder, that's why we take three steps back. Another pshat is that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came up to Shemayim, he traveled through Choshech, Onan, Varofel. to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so too we should feel that when we're davening, we're standing in front of Hashem and we have to go through the Choshech Onan Varofo. That's why we have to take not just three steps when we finish davening, we have to take three steps as we start davening the Shemona Esrei. Another pshat that I saw is that when a person is davening, he's standing where he davens is a Makom Kedusha. So to show that the spot where I was standing and davening was a Makom Kedusha, I have to take three steps to show that I'm moving away from that. I'm moving away from that spot that has on it the Sholosh Kedushas. Another pshat that Mashal suggests is that when Nebuchadnezzar greeted Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, he took three steps in his honor. And because of that, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we want to show that we're doing it as well. And that's why we take the three steps backwards. So how are the three steps taken? So Mishnah Berurah says, first, you should take a step with your left foot, a small step. Then you should take a regular step with your right foot. And then take another step with your left foot that your 2 feet will be together. The Rashba writes that there is no shear how big these steps have to be. The point is that they have to be three steps, even if they're small steps. But the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that if one could take bigger steps, then it's fine. The Bach says that actually taking bigger steps or smaller steps are connected to the Shaila that we just discussed. Why do we need to take steps? But certainly the Bach says that if somebody is in a place where there just isn't room to take big steps, he doesn't have to take big steps. Amalei Matcha, Kivin Shabbos Shalos Psius Lachurav, when somebody took the three steps back, Hasmi Boilamekim, that's where you're supposed to stand. Moshe Talmud Aniftam Rabbi, just like a Talmud who takes leave of his Rebbe, Im Choizel Alter, if he walks back right away, Harait, then it's like a dog that went back to its vomit. So the Rishonim already discussed how much time do you have to wait. The Rif says you should wait until the Shlich Tzibah starts the Chazor Sashatz. The Rambam holds you should wait until the Shlich Tzibah starts Kedushin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins L'chatchil like the Rambam. But the Mishnah Berurah says that B'dievad you could wait the time it takes to walk Dalar Amis. What's the marshal of somebody to the Shoval Keoi? So Rashba explains that if somebody finished davening, so he should believe that he accomplished what he had to accomplish with his davening. If he goes right back to where he was, then he's showing that he doesn't believe, and Maril explains this also, that it shows that he doesn't believe in the power of his tefillah, because and would believe in the power of his tefillah, then why is he running back to daven? His tefillah accomplished what it's supposed to accomplish. And part of davening is believing in the power of davening. And that's why don't run back to where you were. He should take three steps backwards, and then he should bow down as if he's giving shalom to somebody. The Mlosser came, and if he doesn't do this, says the Gemara Royal Shleis Balo, it would have been better if he hadn't daven. Mishum Rav Shmaya Amru, Acha Noisin Shalom Yamin, he should give Shalom to the right side, Vakach L'smol, and then to the left side. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Mimino Eishtos Lomoi, V'Oimer Yipra B'tzitcha Elef Urvava Miminecha. So ask the Gemara, why do you have to have two psukim? The reason you go to the right side first is because that's normally the stronger side. That's the side we always start with first. Tashma, that's what the Pasuk says, that specifically you have to go to the right side because the Torah, the Pasuk says, Hashem oiz le'ama yitain. Oiz ain oiz ela Torah. And the Torah has to be, and that's why we have to show the preference to the right side. Says the Gemara, Rava Chazal Abai Diyov Shalma Limina Bereisha. He saw and he bowed down to the right side. Amalei, so he said, Misav Limina Doch. When we said that you have to bow down to the right side, It doesn't mean to your right. L'smol didach kamina. I meant to your left side. Dav yamina shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you're facing somebody, when you bow to the left, you're bowing down to his right. Amar Rav Chiya b'Rei Rav Huna. Chazinu labayi v'rava da psila shalosh b'siris. That when they would back out with these three steps, they would do it b'kriyachas as they were bent down. U'mespal tefila k'tzar v'beis achitzun. We learned that the Kohen Gadol davens a short tefila in the beis achitzun. Ask the Gemara my matzli. What was his tefillah? Says the Gemara, Rava Baravada Varavin Baravada, Tavai Mishmei the Rav Amri. He said, Yiratzu Fnach Hashem Alakeinu, Shitahei Shanazu, Geshuma Ushchuna. Ask the Gemara, Shchuna means it's hot and humid. Mal Yusahi, does Kayin Davin that the year should be a humid year? Says the Gemara, El Eima, what he meant to say was, Im Shchuna, if it's going to be humid, Geshuma, it should rain, and like that, it'll help that the people won't suffer from the humidity. So I saw that the Gvursa re-explains that a drought comes from the Veira of Lashon Hara. And we learned earlier in our Masechta, says the Gvursa re, that the Ktiris is Mechapa on Lashon Hara. So now that we had a Kapara on Lashon Hara, it's the time to daven that we should have the proper amount of rain. Rava Bered Rav Msaimba, Mishmed Rav Yehuda, he also added that what the Kohen Davin for, the Kohen Gadol Davin for, was Le'adi Oven Shultan Beis Yehuda. The monarchy should remain in the hands of Shevet Yehuda, V'le'amcha Yisrael Tzricha Lefanas Mzeh Mzeh, and Klal Yisrael should not require Panosa one from each other, V'le'tikonis Lefanach HaTfilas Ovre Drachim. People who are traveling don't want it to rain, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu should listen and not listen to their tefillah. So the Achronim asked, why did the Kohen Gadol daven in Lashon Rames, not in Lashon Kodesh? So the Gra says, since he was saying psukim, and the Loch is Dvarim Shebiksav Yet Rishoy Loimer Malpeh, so that's why he had to say it in Lashon Rames. Another pshat that the Gvur Sari wants to suggest, the reason we're not allowed to daven in Aramis is because Malachim don't understand Aramis, and we need the Malachim to transport our tefillos to Shemayim. What the Kohen Gadol was trying to say is that as I am standing now in the Kodesh, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and davening to you, there's no Malachim involved. I'm davening directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and since I'm davening directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I could daven in any language, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, understands any language. Rav Chanina ben Dosa Kavazel Ba'orcha. Rav Chanina ben Azel was traveling on the road, v'shadra mitrelei, and it started to rain. Amri ben Shalom kol olam kul benachas. Everybody's happy, because when it rains, and they lived in an agricultural society, there's plenty rain to water the field. However, I, Chanina b'tzar, pasuk mitra, so it stopped to rain. So says the Gemara Kassel Beisei, when he came home, Om Rebbeinu Shalom Kol Olam Kul B'Tzar, everybody now is upset, they need the rain for the fields. V'chanina B'Nachas, I don't have any fields, so it doesn't bother me. Asa Mitra. So of course the Mefarshim asks, if everybody needed rain, so why did Chanina daven that he shouldn't have rain? So one pshat that I saw is that Rav Chanina was a shliach mitzvah, and he wanted to show the power of a shliach mitzvah. Another pshat that the Mashar says at that point the world didn't need the rain yet. That's why he davened that there should be no rain. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada explains, he says that Rav Chanina did not have another pair of clothing. And the reason he was davening this way is because he said, if my clothing gets drenched, I don't have another pair to put on. So the Noam HaMelech says a beautiful pshat in this Gemara. Noam HaMelech says, the Gemara says, Kol ha'olam nizan b'shvil chanina b'ni, v'chanina b'ni dailoi b'kav charuvim mi'erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. Our Gemara masech to Shabbos, and Gemara masech to brachas to avyot zayinam and So Noam HaMelech explains what does the word shvil mean? Shvil means a path. And what Chanina was saying, the Gemara says, Kol olam nizam b'shvil Chanina b'ni. Chanina makes a path through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the panosa to the Klal Yisrael, and from that path, the rest of us get panosa. So says the Gemara, says the Naim HaMelech, that's what Chanina said here. Chanina b'tzar. If I'm b'tzar, I won't be able to create that path to bring panosa to the whole world. And therefore, make sure, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chanina was davening, that I should not be b'tzar. Amar Rabbi Yosef, my Hanel, it's loose the Kohen Gadol. So we just learned that the Kohen Gadol davened on Yom Kippur that it should rain. But says the Gemara, his tefillah didn't really help any, because we see here that he davened, but Chanina was able to overturn that it should rain, but he was able to overturn that. Says the Gemara, Tanar Abonan, there was a story with one Kohen Gadol that davened for a very long time, and they were concerned what was the story with the Kohen Gadol. So they decided that they have to go in and see what's going on. As they started entering, and he exited. Why were you taking so much time? We learned that the Kohen Gadol should not take so much time. So he responded, are you upset that I davened Aleichem for on your behalf, or for the Beis Hamikdash that shouldn't get destroyed? So they said, even though you had the best of intentions, please don't do this again. As we learned in our Mishnah, that he was not marach the tefillah kadesh lavas as Yisrael. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, it's a Mishnah that you're not allowed to do this. So why did he do so? So I saw that Rabbi Yoshev says a beautiful pshat. Rabbi Yoshev says that the reason that the Kohanim Gadolim were not allowed to spend a lot of time davening, because there was a concern that people are going to think that he's a tzedaki and that he didn't survive being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But says Rabbi Yoshev, the Rishonim say that this Kohen that we're speaking about was Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon was a tzaddik. So he felt that nobody's going to come to accuse him that he was a tzedaki. And therefore, he took the liberty of davening long, but they told me not supposed to do so. Says the Mishnah, in continuing describing the avoid in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, says the Mishnah to Aaron, from when the Aaron was removed from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Evan HaShoshan, there was a stone, Mimois Devim HaRishonim, Vishasiyas in the cross. It's called Nitzir because it's the foundation, says the Rambam. Gevayim and Arat Shalosh Etzpos. It was above the ground by three Etzpos. V'leh ha'yunaisen. And on top of that, that's where the Kohen Gadol will put the Ketoros. Notel. Then we continue speaking about the various Kabbonis. Notel, as Hadam, he took the blood of his par, Mimisha Yimarispo, from the person who was mixing it, that was making sure it shouldn't congeal. And he walked into where he was supposed to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he stood in the place where he brought the Ketoros, and he spritzed from the dam to on the top of the Kaparis, on the top of the Oren. Achas Lamala, we'll discuss this in the Gemara, v'shev lamata, v'loy miskam lahazis loy lamala v'loy lamata. He did not intend it should be towards the top or towards the bottom. Ela kamatzlev, just like somebody who's hitting somebody else with a whip. And as he did this, he would count. Achas, the first one is for the hand that was facing upwards, and then seven were facing downwards. And when he did those seven hazars, he said, achas for achas, achas for shtayim, achas for shalosh, achas for arba, achas for chomesh, achas for sheish, achas for sheves, and then yotzev and nichay, and then he took the keli with the dam, and he put it al kan hazav shebehechel on a gold base on the hechel. Then Avilai sar. Then they brought the sar that the goyrel identified to be the sar Hashem. Shachtoi, he shachted it. The kibul b'mizrak was damai, and then he did kabbal sadam. Nichnas l'makom shenichnas, he went into kodesh hakadoshim. Vam b'makom she'amad, v'hoizu mimenu achas l'mal v'shev l'mata. And again, he followed the same procedure. V'kach ha'imayna achas achas v'achas akushtayim. Yotzev v'nichay, and then he put the blood of the sar, according to this opinion, al kan hazov shebehechel, on the second base stand that they had in the Heichel. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And he says, Lahay Sham El Kanachad. He says there was only one base in the base of Migdash. Notl Dama Par. And when he came out with the Dama Sor, he picked up the Dama Par. V'iniach Dama Sor. And then he put down the blood of the Sor. V'hizim Emmanuel Proichus Shekenegad Orem Mibuchutz. And then he spritzed on the Proichus, which separated between the Kodesh and Gedoshim and the Kodesh. Achsel Mal V'shav L'mata V'loi Miskaven. He didn't mean to actually hit the top of the Proichus or the bottom. V'kach HaYamayna. Notl Dama Sor. Then he picked up the damasor, v'nich damapar, and put down the damapar. V'izim emanal proich shikinegar armen b'chutz, achs l'mal v'shev l'mata. And then ira damapar l'doich damasor, he mixed together the blood of the par and the blood of the sor, and nosin asamol b'reken, and then he put the blood from the empty keli, full keli into the empty keli, that they should get mixed up well.